Book of Isaiah, chapter number 44. Isaiah, chapter number 44. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm looking for an exciting week, but it won't be exciting unless you're part of it. I hope this week you'll do two things. Number one, I hope you'll pray. We have not because we ask not. If Friday night comes and ends, nothing happens, nobody's saved, we know why. We have not prayed. Reason number two, I want you to invite. You say, preacher, they won't come. You don't know that, friend. You're excusing people into hell when you make that statement. You say, I've invited them before. You don't know what God has done in someone's heart since the last time you invited them. You invite and pray, and let's see what God can do this week. Now, two special nights. If you're alive and breathing, or you're just still warm, plan to be here in the service on Thursday night. Thursday night, I'm going to preach a message entitled, The Awesome. That is a teenage word, awesome. When you're a teenager, everything is awesome. I like that. That hamburger is awesome. That girl is awesome. That car is awesome. Hear me. Nothing is awesome compared to the awesome end of history. When history ends, you'll be there. I'll be there. Every person ever lived will be right there on Judgment Day. Thursday night. Friday night, don't miss it, whatever you do. Friday night's message is entitled, When Demons Dance with Delight. Three things a born-again believer can do, makes hell happy, makes demons dance. Only one thing a lost person ever does, and what is that? You'll find out on Friday night when you hear the message, When Demons Dance with Delight. Across America, there's thousands of people that are saved. Why? Because God used that message. Understand, not the messenger, no, the message. I hope you'll work and pray every night. Let's make these two very special nights. Open your Bible again to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 44. The carpenter, verse 13. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. He marketh it out with a compass and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, may remain in the house. Heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn. He will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof, he maketh a god. Imagine a man in the Amazon jungle. Picks up his axe one morning, goes in the forest. Enters the woods, he looks for a tall, straight, lofty tree. Pretty soon, he locates the perfect tree. He cuts it down. He drags that tree all the way back home. Time he gets home, approaching supper time. Once again, picks up his axe, goes out, cuts off part of the tree, brings it in the house. They use that as fuel to cook supper. Later on, the sun sets. The evening chill comes. Once again, picks up his axe, goes out, cuts off more of the tree, brings it in the house. They use that as firewood to keep warm. Now, in verse 17, you read this strange word. It says, and the residue thereof, or the leftovers thereof, or the remains thereof, he maketh a god. Verse 17 describes how a heathen man treats his god. He gives his god what's left over after food, what remains after fuel. Question, do you and I as born-again believers really treat the real God any better than a heathen man might treat his God? That thought in mind this morning, I want to preach on the subject, giving God the garbage. Number one, first of all, a definition. What is garbage? Right? Some gentleman said, preacher, I know what garbage is. That's what my wife fixed for supper last night. I hope not. I hope not. Brother Mark, I know what garbage is. Out there at the dump or the landfill, it's full of worms and maggots. It smells. Oh, no, wait. After the morning service, you get home. Go out and look at your garbage can. In your garbage can, you'll find some vegetables. The peas are still green. The corn is still yellow. You want to reach down in the garbage can, take out those vegetables, brush them off, put them in your mouth, chew up and swallow them. They wouldn't harm your body. Your body would get nutrients and protein from them. But this morning, they're in the garbage. Now, why? They're not rotten. They're not spoiled. One reason, they're simply left over. That's exactly how you and I, sir, give God the garbage. Have my leftover, I'll put it in the plate. Nothing good on television. I may read my Bible. I get super duper burdened. I might witness to somebody. And my friend, emphatically, dogmatically, the Bible you claim to believe says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Anytime you and I serve God on the basis of convenience instead of the basis of obedience, we are guilty of giving God the garbage. Number one, first of all, we find, my friend, the definition of garbage. Number two, the dimensions. Two areas I want to mention we're guilty of giving God the garbage. Number one, first of all, in regard to our time. You ever said this? I know I should read the Bible more, but I don't have time. I know on Wednesday night I should go to prayer meeting, but I don't have time. I know, my friend, there are things I should do in the church, but I don't have time. Stop. Think it through, really. You're blaspheming God. It was God who put 24 hours in a day. When you say, I don't have time to serve God, what you're doing, you're blaming God. Dear friend, it is not a time problem. It's a priority problem. And we're back to that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God made no mistake putting 24 hours in a day. You made a mistake. When you have so, life is full of clutter, so full of television, so full of other things. You have no time to give and serve someone who found 6 hours to hang on a cross and die for your sin. God help us. We're guilty of giving God the garbage of our time. Turn your Bible, if you would please, to Psalm 119. Now, the biggest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. You ready for this? I got it easy for you. The largest psalm is Psalm 119. Now, don't get nervous. We're not going to cover everything. But there's a great principle going through Psalm 119. When you found that, look up this way. Psalm 119. First of all, if you would please, look in your Bible at verse number 25. Verse number 25. The psalmist said, my soul cleaveth unto the... What a statement. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. He said, I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm defeated. Now, look at the next word. Next word in your Bible, sir, is the word quicken. That's the same word in your Bible as revive. Read it that way. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me or revive me. How? Watch it. According unto thy word. What a statement. He's depressed. He's discouraged. What did he do? He got the Bible out. Amen. Read the Bible. He was encouraged. The fire came back. The joy returned. Why? He spent time in the Word of God. Look in your Bible again. Psalm 119. Look at verse number 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. He's going through a tough time, a different time. Don't stop there. Read further. Here we go again. For thy word hath quickened me. He took the Bible down. As he read the Bible, God moved into his heart. The Spirit of God stirred his soul. He got revived. How? Spending time in the Word of God. Open your Bible again, please. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 94. I'm sorry, 93. Psalm 119, verse 93. The psalmist said, I will never forget thy precepts. That's his words or his teaching. Why? Well, with him thou hast quickened me. Again, he got revived. Not just twice a year during revival meeting. Every day. Hear me. Every day can be revival day. If you'll spend time every day in the Word of God, look in your Bible again, please. Psalm 119, look at verse number 107. The psalmist said, I am afflicted very much. He's going through a tough time, a difficult time. But thank God, look at the next word, quicken, revive me. No matter what you're going through, God can revive you. Quicken me, how? O Lord, according to thy word. Again, he read the Bible. Get that in your heart. You can live a happy life. If every day you'll take time and make time for the Word of God. Look again, please. Psalm 119, 154. The psalmist said, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me, revive thou me according to thy word. When you say, I don't have time for the Bible, you say, I'm happy being defeated. I'm happy being unhappy. That doesn't make sense. The Bible can stir your heart and bless your soul and make you have a joy in your heart you're not going to find anywhere else in the world except in the Word of God. We give God the garbage of our time. Years ago, I had an ex-friend of mine. All I have is ex-friends. But anyway, my ex-friend called me up and said, hey, Brother Mark, let's go to the State Fair of Springfield, Illinois. I said, let's go. Talk about excitement, thrills, action. We got to see the cows and the pigs And the squirrel, I talk about thrills. What could be more exciting than looking at the squirrels? That is exciting. And man, that's top-notch stuff. Well, I almost become Pentecostal looking at squirrels. I'll tell you that right now. It gets better. Then we got to go see. Here we go. You can't beat this. Then we got to go see. Are you ready? The knitting and the sewing and the crocheting. Man alive, that's pure excitement, all right? It gets better. Here's a highlight. In a big tent, we got to see the pickles, huh? And the preserves. What could be more exciting looking at pickles? I'll tell you, that blessed my heart and spilled my soul. I spoke in tongues 3 times looking at pickles. Now, pretty soon, my buddy, I had enough of this. He said, let's get out of here. I said, I'm right behind you. My buddy said, let's go to the carnival. I said, amen. I'm going to tell you something. I go to a carnival. I want to get on that fastest, wildest, highest, most dangerous merry-go-round in the entire place. Now, I'll be honest. I am. This morning you are looking, friend, at a macho merry-go-round man. That is it. That's the highlight. Hey, my favorite one is a horse, you know, nice up and easy. That's my. We walked in there. First thing my buddy said, hey, he said, let's go on the roller coaster. I said, you forgot, didn't you? Forgot what? This is Saturday. This is the Old Testament Sabbath. You don't ride roller coasters on the Sabbath. Somebody say amen. That's good Bible doctrine, all right? Okay, he said, let's try this ride. I said, preacher, I got the perfect ride. Come on over here. We're going to ride it. What's it called? It's called the Mad Mouse. I said, the what? He said, the Mad Mouse. I said, okay. Now, we got in these little cars. We are my size. They're all little cars, okay? A guy came up, put a metal bar across my body, and locked me in. I thought, this baby's got some centrifugal force. It must have, okay? All of a sudden, it starts to move. Up an incline about like this, not right. All of a sudden, I realized something. The tracks had stopped. I couldn't believe it. This thing spun around 3 times, and I realized we shot down an incline about like this at least 5,000 miles an hour. We went rolling down, hit up the other side. I got news for you. My stomach kept right on going down, okay? I wept. I prayed. I made some holy vows. Can I be honest, dear friend? I got saved 3 times on the Mad Mouse. I did. It's the worst experience I ever had in my entire life. Come on, get real. Get real with me. Come on. Is your Christian life like the Mad Mouse? You serve God a while and stop, break a habit, fall back into it, read your Bible, get the channel changer. Dear friend, that's horrible. That's horrible. This book right here can change you if you want to get changed. And my friend, the key is taking time, making time, prioritizing time for the Word of God. Earlier in my life, I talked to 62 people one-on-one. They were having trouble living the Christian life, you know, different habits, different locations, different friends. 62 Christians. I asked them one question. Daily or almost daily, I'll give you a little room. Do you read the Word of God? Hear me. And there's 62 Christians in the same life, in the same life as some of you. One said they read the Word of God every day. Friend, it's never going to change. You cannot substitute for God's book, but thank God there's victory there. Or bring joy, happiness, service, and a friend to Christ. You're not going to find anywhere apart from the Word of God. Number one, we give God the garbage of our time. Time for everything, everybody, except the only thing can make an impact in our life. The Word of God. Number two, we give God the garbage of our time, of our testimony. Turn your Bible, if you would please, to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans 1, 1. Great statement on Bible dedication. Not your idea of Bible dedication. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That next word is the great Baptist word, separated. You say, Brother Mark, that's us. We're a separated Baptist church. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't chew. We don't wear tattoos. We don't eat mayonnaise. We hate liver. Somebody say amen, all right? That's right. Okay, no. Oh, wait, hear me. We have the idea to serve God is totally negative. That's totally wrong. That's a part of it, but not all. Look in your Bible. Look in your Bible. Here's God's definition of dedication. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, notice, not from something, separated unto something. Unto what, Paul? I'm separated unto the gospel of God. Hear me. What did Paul say there? In my life, I've given up some good things, some nice things. I might do the greatest thing and the highest thing and the main thing Christ died for. Don't miss it, sir. I might go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and witness that friends might be saved. Is it important? It's so important. Jesus Christ on the cross, serving the flames of hell, turned to a thief nobody loved, and even dying, Jesus Christ witnessed. Come on, believer, come on. You say, I love Jesus, but I, No, you don't. We're teenagers infatuated with somebody, talk about it, yeah. My friend, Christ dying, it was so important, he stopped dying long enough to witness to a thief and take him to heaven. When's the last time you interrupted your plans to go to somebody's house, knock on the door, give somebody a gospel tract? You made a real effort to get them saved and keep them out of the flames of an eternal hell. Separated from everything, yes, but don't forget this, separated unto the gospel of God. That is Bible, my friend. That's a strong Bible statement. Years ago, a young man went to Moody Bible Institute. They'd been studying hard all week, and a weekend come, and two friends and himself decided to go for a walk in downtown Chicago. They're not doing anything wrong. They just went down, walked around, got an ice cream cone, got some exercise. They come back to the dormitory. One young man realized his shoe was untied. That night, he knelt under a big shade tree to tie his shoe. His two friends were engaged in conversation. They kept walking, and pretty soon, they got to the dormitory door, opened the door. There stood Dr. R.A. Torrey, one of the greatest preachers who ever lived, president of Moody Bible Institute. Dr. Torrey said, gentlemen, where have you been? One young man said, sir, we went for a walk and got an ice cream cone. All right, Torrey said, anybody to Christ? No, sir. Witnessed anybody? No. Wait a minute, sir. We didn't have an assignment. We just went for a walk. All right, Torrey said, son, you have an assignment from the Moody Bible Institute or not? I could care less. You have a commandment from Jesus Christ. God's son said, as the Father has sent me, even so, send I you. He said, young man, wake up. He said, Christ's mission has become your commission. The boy under the shade tree broke out in a cold sweat. Stayed in the shade of the trees, around the back of the institute, up the fire escape, raised the window, got in his room, was afraid to light the old gas light, got undressed in the dark, hopped in bed. He was almost asleep. All of a sudden, a thought hit him with tremendous impact, and the thought was this, someday, like you and I, he must stand face to face, eye to eye, before Jesus Christ. In that day, there's no excuse accepted. In that day, there's no reason not to witness. Christ said, I suffered their hell. I did their dying. All I ask you to do is tell them. After all I've done for them, you won't tell them, let them go to hell. Bible dedication demands communication. And oh, I hope this week you'll witness, you'll invite, you'll give out tracts. A fire might be lit in your soul that will drive you to a classmate, drive you 90 foot from your front door to share the gospel with someone. They also might find the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the definition. Number two, the two dimensions, our time and our testimony. Number three, the divine directions. You say, Brother Mark, I'll be honest. In my life, there are some areas I'm guilty of giving God the garbage. I'm not happy about that. Neither is he. What do I need to do? Look in your Bible, first of all. Go back to Isaiah 44. I'll give you a second. Go back there where we started. Isaiah 44. When you found that, look at verse 20. He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside that he cannot deliver his soul. Or say, is there not a lie in my right hand? He said, I've been lying, God. I've been lying to you, God. Here's a key verse, verse 22. God said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. Here it is, sir. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. What did God say? God said, get up. Get up out of the stench and the decay and the filth and the rottenness. God said, get up. Come on back home. Let me cleanse you and restore you and restore the happiness and the song. Don't just sit there. Get up and get right with me. I'm thinking now of the Bible story, the prodigal son. Young man leaves home, a picture of a Christian leaving the father. Winds up in a hog pen, smelling like a hog, eating like a hog, acting like a hog. But the Bible says he came to himself and said, this will I do. I'll arise and go to my father. Now hear this carefully. And say unto him. Here's the speech the boy is going to make. He practices it. Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worth it to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worth it to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. He gets almost home. Well, guess what? God's still looking for him. And God's looking for you today. Well, all of a sudden, the father sees him. The father runs and hugs him and meets him. Keep in mind, he smelled like a hog, acted like a hog. But if God loved him and wrapped his arms around him, and the boy starts his speech, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. In thy sight, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Stop! Before he can finish that speech, God in heaven is so anxious to forgive him, he breaks every law of etiquette, interrupts that young man, and God says, bring forth the best. That's our God today, friend. He wants to give you the best, not what you're hanging on to. He wants to give you the best for your life, the best for some sinner's life you can lead to him. God wants to restore your soul today more than you want to be restored. Oh, may God stir our hearts today to get right with him. I was preaching great crusade, and the pastor came to me and said, Brother Mark, there's a man in the hospital we ought to go see. We got in the car, drove downtown Wichita, Wichita, Kansas, huge medical complex. Going up the steps, a woman was coming down the steps, I would guess mid-60s. The pastor stopped her. Hey, he said, how's Charlie doing? She started weeping. Said, Pastor, three doctors come in the room. Examined my husband, motioned me out in the hall. I said, ma'am, we need to prepare you. Nothing else we can do. At the most, your husband has 3 days left to live. The pastor said, ma'am, is Charlie a Christian? She said, I don't know. I've asked him a dozen times. Never reads the Bible, never prays, never goes to church. Said, preacher, he claims to be saved, but I don't know. On the steps, we bowed our heads, had a word of prayer. We're in that great hospital. Up to the third floor, walked down a long line of cubicles. Pretty soon we walked in beside a cubicle. As I looked down, I saw a man lying there. It was almost like looking in the face of a skeleton. The man's eyes were sunken deep. He was skin and bones, being fed intravenously in each arm, had a plastic hose inserted in each nostril. As we looked down, I thought the man was asleep, but very quietly, the pastor said, Charlie, are you awake? The man's eyelids fluttered. He looked up, and the pastor said, don't say a word, not a word. Charlie, I got to give it to you straight. Play day is over. The doctor said, sir, at the most, you have 3 days left to live. Said, now, Charlie, if you're ever honest, be honest now. I want to help you. He said, Charlie, are you certain you're on the way to heaven? I saw that man struggle for a breath of air. In a whisper, he said, I'm trusting Jesus. Pastor said, okay, Charlie. Just then a nurse walked in. We had prayer. When the pastor finished praying, the nurse said, Pastor, you have an emergency phone call. He left the room. I stood at that man's bedside. I looked down. I saw tears flooding down his cheeks, on his chin, on his gown. He is shaking and crying. I leaned over him. I said, sir, could I get you a drink? Is there anything I could do for you? He looked at me and shook his head. In a little whisper, he said, no, sir. It's my life. What happened next, I'll never forget. I saw that man start to struggle. I'm sure with much pain and effort, all of a sudden, he sat up in bed. When he sat up in bed, he looked toward heaven. He just threw both hands up to heaven, and he cried out. He said, wasted! Then he sobbed and said, wasted, and fell back on the bed and wept and sobbed and shook. He said, what I'll do with him? God said he was a teenager. Went through life, give Jesus Christ the garbage, the scraps, and the leftovers. That's not the end of the story. 2 days later, Charlie died. The Bible says of Charlie, as it says of you, believer, every one of us, that's Christians, will give an account of himself unto God. On that day, Charlie will come and kneel alone at the feet of Christ. You'll see the wounds of Calvary. Notice, we do not do all the talking, but we do talk. Jesus will say, give an account, oh my. And Charlie will say in that day, Lord Jesus, you bought me with your blessed blood. And I give you my filthy garbage. God, my life is wasted. Wow. No lying then. No laughing then. He bought you with everything he had. Blood, Bible, soul, and spirit. And you put it bluntly in your life. All Jesus Christ is. The Holy Son of God that loved you and died for you is simply, hear it, the garbage collector. Why? All he gets is the garbage and the leftovers and the scraps for your life. On some things I might be wrong. On this I'm 100% right. Jesus Christ deserves everything we have. Bow your head for prayer. Our heads are bowed. Two questions. Number one. The most important question you're ever going to hear. If you were to die today, if this date was to be chiseled on a tombstone, do you know you'd go to heaven? Now, the Bible says you can know that, not by church membership, not by baptism, but by a definite day, a definite time, inviting Christ into your heart. Do you know you're going to heaven? You say, well, I hope so. No. Who will say, preacher, I'll be honest. I've got some doubts, or maybe I know I'm not saved, but I'm concerned. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I will not point you out. I will not embarrass you. I'll not try to drag you down an aisle. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Could I just see that hand? Lift it up. Let me see it. Put it right back down. I want to pray for you. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. 10 seconds. Well, you're in hell, all that prayer universe cannot move you out. 5 seconds, anybody, let me see it. All right, thank you so much. Now, I'm talking to Christians. You say, Brother Mark, I'm a Christian. But God spoke to my heart today. There's some areas of my life where Jesus Christ is a garbage collector. Might be your time, might be a testimony, might be some habit that robs you of victory and joy. You say, preacher, I am a Christian. But God spoke to my heart today. There's some sin I need to confess, some priorities I need to establish. Brother Mark, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to my heart. I'm guilty of giving God the garbage. Pray for me. Let me see your hand right now. Get that hand in the air. Let me pray. God bless you all over the place. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. Holy Ghost, thank you for meeting us today. Thank you for people you've spoken to. And I pray all the power of heaven might be poured out in this place. God, I beg in Jesus' name, may decisions be made today that will exalt Christ and change our lives. Because we made that decision in our life, may it affect other lives. I pray the altar in the front row might become a spiritual garbage dump. Where sins confessed and forsaken, and Christ becomes royal and the leader of our lives. When you just sit there, your head bowed, your eyes closed. In a minute, I'm going to have you stand. If God spoke to your heart, whether you raised your hand or not, I'm going to invite you to respond. If you're not sure you're saved, the pastor is going to be right here at the front. When I have you stand, don't give the devil a second or an inch. If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven on that first note, get out of there. Come down and tell the preacher. Somebody would be thrilled to take you aside, a man with a man, lady with a lady. Open the Bible and show you today how you can know you're going to heaven, not because of church membership or baptism, because you have received Christ. Now, I'm talking to a multitude of Christians, a multitude. What are you going to do? Well, I know I didn't ask what you know. Knowing what you do does not settle one thing. No. It's when you respond, that's what gets the job done. Believer, if God spoke to your heart today, I'm going to invite you to come. You want to come and pray, front row of the altar. Do it. You want help in the Christian life? Tell the pastor. Again, if you're a Christian and God dials your number, don't give the devil a chance. When I have you stand, don't stop. Make your way to the altar, the front row. Pray it, get it right with God, and go back to your seat. We don't walk out the door and say, Jesus, thanks for dying, buddy. But you're only worth garbage. What a horrible thing to do. If God's speaking to your heart today, don't be a leader. Don't be a follower. Be a leader. Get out of that seat. Come and make it right with God. Are we ready? Everybody right now, stand to your feet. If God's speaking, come on right now. Get out of there and come on down. Come on, quickly. Come on. Good. Come on. Come on. Come on. Good. Who else? Come on. You raise a hand. Don't just stand there. Christ is worth a trip down the aisle. Come on. Who else is there? Come on. Come on, dear friend. God dialed your number. He spoke to your heart. Not just to hear his voice, to hear your voice confessing. Come on. Get out of there and come on. Who else? Who else? God bless you, sir. Who else? You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you right here, right now. Come on. I'd be embarrassed to walk an aisle. You ought to be embarrassed to make him a garbage collector. Get out of there. Come on, friend. Come on. Get it right with God. Get the joy back. Who else? It's good. Others are still coming. There's room for you. Come on. Giving God the garbage. Christ gave blood. Christ gave pain. Christ gave his soul. Christ gave his life. Christ, when they pulled the nails out, he had nothing, nothing, nothing left to give. Come on. You're a holdout against Christ. Come on. Anybody else? Do now what you wish you'd done when you got home. Pastor, it's yours, sir.